This is Phil Farron. And I am driving around. And I will be driving around for the next, oh, I don't know, 9 to 12 weeks. The project to redo the exterior of the building of my client has reached the spot that was out the outside wall of all of our offices for the missions team. So they're gonna have to tear out portions of that wall and just sort of leave everything exposed there. And so there would have been no way to get any heat and like that and like that and like that. So we packed up all our stuff on Wednesday, yesterday. Got it all squared away in, I don't know, an hour or so. And then, hour and a half-ish. Well, that was for me. The other guys were working for an hour before I ever got there. And so they, after we did all that, then everybody went home. So we're all working from home now for the next, they say 6 to 9 weeks, but the way this stuff goes, it's probably more like 9 to 12 weeks. So we'll see. We'll see how long it takes to get all that done. Which is fine. I've got all the equipment that I need at home to dial in and have good internet and ta-da. I am seriously thinking about investing in another sit-stand desk, because the sit-stand desk that I created several years ago stopped going up and down several years ago. And, you know, so it'd be nice to have a sit-stand desk, and be nice to get a little smaller desk in my office, because the costumes have taken over my office. And it would be nice to have something that didn't consume so much space and to have an excuse to get underneath it and clean out a bunch of stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. That's a project for another day. But anyways, so all is well at work. Things are puttering along. We're settling into our new sprint methodologies, and that all seems to be going fine, and I was able to get a goodly amount of work done this week in my little 16 hours that I try to work every week. And, you know, it's a good thing to solve some problems and figure some things out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all good. Costumes at this point is coasting for the rest of the year. Everything's just coasting. I may have kind of a special reprise coming up. I have my gold tooth put in, my second gold tooth put in on the 11th of November, I think it is. It's on a Tuesday. Have it put back in then, and I could wear the costume that I wear the week before. The week before is Lion King Day, so I have the Lion King costume I could wear. And I was kind of intending to do that, but when I had the crown prepped last week on Thursday, we were jabbering away, because there's times when you're just waiting for things to harden and, you know, waiting for anesthesia to kick in, yada, yada, yada. I brought up the World Kindness Day costume that I did in 2020, because it's November the 13th, and I knew it would be directly after the election, and I just wanted something to jar people visually and remind them to be kind. So earlier in the year, I probably have told this story. Earlier in the year, I had gotten a bee costume for Random Acts of Kindness, and I had made up this little saying and made this t-shirt, may we only see through a lens of kindness in 2020. So, because of a little play on words, you know, with visual, et cetera, et cetera. I have since changed that to just a t-shirt that says, be kind. And while I was hunting for that, as is always the way with costumes, while I was looking for the bee costumes, every other one had to be the sexy bee costumes. And it just struck me as just so ridiculous that everything had to be sensualized. I thought, well, fine, that would be jarring. And so I had bought myself a queen bee costume. And as a pun on words, one side of my sash said, drag queen bee says, and on the back of it says, be kind. So, and then, of course, the whole thing with drag queens, you know, got more prominent, and Net was a little uncomfortable with all that. So I retired that costume after about 2 more years, I think. I think I wore it in 21 and 22, and that was pretty much it. But I was talking about, there's a whole shtick that I do about the cups that are on the costume. It's a really nice costume. It's well made, it's lined, it's, you know. But obviously it has cups and I don't have anything to go in the cups. And so I was going through the what had happened when I was deciding whether or not I was going to wear that costume. And I know I've shared this story before, but I'm going to share it again because it really, it does not fit with our conceptions of who God is and what he would joke about. But I think it perfectly illustrates that God has a great sense of humor and a great sense of timing. So it was something to the effect that I'm standing there looking at these cups in the bedroom, a master bedroom closet, and looking at myself and going, ah, what am I going to do with this? And, you know, I had bought a shiny shirt to go under the costume, and so I put it over the costume, but then everything was all wrinkly and looked weird. And I was like, no. And I was actually considering cutting it off at the waist level and just using it from there. And in the midst of doing all that, I heard a little whisper down in my spirit that said, you know, you could buy some bumblebee plush toys because they have those and just stick those in the cups with just the eyes sticking out over the cups. Because that would be funny. And I thought to myself, yes, that would be funny. And then I had an additional idea, you know, you could get one that was slightly larger than the other one because that happens. And yeah, I could do that. And I was turning to walk out of the closet, and with absolutely perfect timing, I heard this little whisper down in my spirit say, because, you know, then you could call them your bee cups. And I just went, ugh. I thought, well, now I have to do this. And that was part of the bit. I would tell people about that bit, and then a buddy of mine came up with another joke about it, and I incorporated that joke, and I would go in, and I would get like 4 or 5 ladies at Walmart around me, and I'd be going through that, and they're just laughing and bending over and laughing. They think this is the funniest thing. You know, and it was funny. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with that. It's just funny. It's fine. So I was telling the dental assistant about this and happened to bring up a picture of it on Facebook last Thursday. I don't think I talked about this last week. And about that time, my dentist walked in and she saw the picture. She said, oh, those are bright colors. And so then I kind of explained a little bit about the costume to her. And I showed her, you know, the full frontal view of the costume. It's not naked. There's no nudity involved. Just the full frontal view of the costume. And she thought it was great, you know. And then I knew I was going to go back down there on the 11th, which is really close to World Kindness Day. And so I did talk to my wife about this. I said, you know, our dentist thinks this is funny. And I could go down to the office in this. And she was like, for a minute. And then we talked a little bit. She said, oh, you know, if you're just going to go down there and come back, I don't care if you wear it down there. I said, okay. So I've got to revisit with her, but I'm going to redo the sash on it so that it doesn't say drag queen B says be kind anymore. I'm just going to put be kind on both sides and just leave it at that. And so maybe that'll make it a little more acceptable. We'll see. We'll see. So anyways, that's a little project that I have that is going to be something a little bit different than what I had scheduled for this year. But for the most part, this year is just going to be the stuff that I already have. I was considering doing something special for Halloween this year because it's on a Friday, and normally I make a little bit more of an effort when a holiday comes right on a Friday. But what I would do for that is I would go back and I would get my Neanderthal Bone Dancer costume out, which is hysterical. But I would have to take Aiden to school in that costume. And that costume's a little much to go to school on. And so I'm just going to pull out my Puss in Boots costume, modified Puss in Boots costume. The problem with the Puss in Boots costume is all it is a hat and a belt and boots. You know, and I can't do that. So last year I had made a modified Puss in Boots costume, kind of a homage to Puss in Boots more than an actual Puss in Boots costume. I did get really tall boots, and I got the same hat as he had, and I got a rapier. But then I actually made a shirt with a big jabot on it, and it's fancy, and got a coat, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm going to wear that on Friday and Saturday this year. And then maybe next year, since Halloween is on Saturday next year, I'll just pull out the Bone Dancer costume just for the fun of it and do that. It is a hideous costume. It's just terrible. But there's a lot of puns involved with it, and people laugh a lot with it. So, you know, it's Halloween. Sure, why not? So that's what's going on with costumes. That's all well and good. Everything's good there. Writing is going fine. I'm about 500 words down where I should be, but we had a lot of running around going on Monday. I had gotten up on Monday and we had filled up Net's driver's side back tire, rear tire, on Sunday because we noticed that it was really low. And then I checked it Monday morning and sure enough, it was really low again. So I went ahead and aired it back up. Thankfully, it hadn't popped the seal or anything like that, thank God. Went ahead and aired it up, and then took Aiden to school in that, and then swung back around to the Walmart and had the Walmart fix it for me while I was waiting. And, you know, so that kind of blew out a good portion of the morning. Then by the time I got home and I got my running done, then I was kind of behind, and so I've just been crawling back and gaining back words, and I'm almost back up. I need to do 250 words today, and then tomorrow I'll only have an additional 250 words that I need to do. But tomorrow and Saturday are both 1500 words, and that's pretty easy to get done when I've got an entire afternoon, because it's about 500 words an hour is where I clock in, depending on what I'm writing. And so it's, you know, 3 hours worth. It's not bad. It's really not bad. So the writing's good. The work is good. Everything's good. I'm starting to get books back, the book 23 back, and so all that stuff's coming in. I do have 2 more weeks. I should be at 60,000 words on book 24 by the end of this week. Is that right? Yes, by the end of this week, I should be at over 60,000 words. And I've got 2 weeks left, and the goal is to get to 80,000 words, so I'm right on track. And that's going fine. So there you go. I came across this week, I came across a, it came in at the end of an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast. And frankly, I was a little surprised when Joe Rogan and Constantine Kissin and the other guy, oh, that's bad, they do the Trigonometry podcast. And that's a real good podcast. And they were meeting with Joe Rogan. And they were talking about just everything. They were just shooting the breeze, you know. And towards the end, towards the very end of that podcast, Joe Rogan, kind of out of the blue, started talking about Christianity. I mean, as far as I knew, Joe Rogan was, you know, if not an atheist, an agnostic, and that he really didn't have much time for religion, and he started talking, and I thought, well, here we go. So, it's really interesting. So, Joe Rogan was saying the idea that these people, like, really believe. Like, it's fascinating when I watch super religious people who are praying five times a day, and I'm like, that's amazing. Look how dedicated they are to that thing. Like, there's an attractiveness to that. Like, I wish I was more... I wish... Let's see. If I was more... I wish that if I was more dedicated to something, I'd probably be... Oh, so basically he's saying that he thinks if he was more dedicated to something like that, I'd be way more stable in my life. And the other guys are like, agree. And Joe Rogan went on to say, you know, because you're locked in and everybody believes, and you know, you see people talking about religion with absolute certainty. Like, I wish I was that certain. I wish I was that certain. Those guys are so certain they're willing to die. Constantine Kissin's partner in his podcast says it gives you a lot of inner peace. And if you don't... And let's see. This was an automatic transcription, so it's a little rough. It gives you a lot of peace. It does... Like, if you don't have that, which I don't, and I've got a friend who's a devout Muslim. I had to slow down there for a little bit. So he said, I've got a friend who's a devout Muslim, and he's going through tough times, and I say to him, bro, how do you get through this? And he's like, I've got my religion. I've got God, and I know everything's going to be okay. He's a great guy, and he goes, I pray five times a day, and it really helps me. And it makes me realize and understand that what I'm going through is part of the plan. It's part of the plan. Then Joe Rogan said, if you really do believe that, it will definitely help you. And Constantine Kissin says, I haven't gotten there, but I've started going to church every now and again. And Joe Rogan said, do you enjoy it? And then they got to talking about, you know, and Joe Rogan is talking about that he's like going sometimes too, and how it's a bunch of people who are trying to make their lives better, and they're trying to be a better person, and he said, for me at least, it's a place I go to. They know you, and they read and analyze passages from the Bible. He said, I'm really interested in what these people were trying to say, because I don't think it's nothing. There's like a lot of atheist and secular people that just like to dismiss Christianity as being foolish. You know, like it's just fairy tales. I hear that amongst the self-professed intelligent people, like it's fairy tale, but I don't think that's true. I think there's more to it than that. You know, and he talks about how it's confusing because he says all these people were handing down these stories forever and there were cultural stuff that was getting in, but he like pointed to the flood. And he was saying, you know, there's a flood myth in every culture around the world. And then there's the Younger Dryas. And so we know kind of there's some background here that there was some big event. that happened. And so this story of the flood myth, there might be real historical precedent for that. And these were the quote-unquote myths that were handed down. And so then he was talking about the stories of Christianity and how people were writing down these stories of Christianity and sticking them in Clare jars. And there's this long history of thousands of years that people have been telling these stories. And he says, you know, I start to think about, like, what were they trying to say? Which I can tell you where he got this from. He got this from Jordan Peterson, because Jordan Peterson has all kinds of theories about these stories that just seem like stories to begin with. But the more you dig into them, you see that there are really some base, fundamental, foundational truths in these stories. And of course, Joe said they find these ancient scrolls and they pull them out, and they're versions of stories from the Bible. So these people have been telling these same stories for thousands of years. He said, that's interesting to me. I don't think it's nothing. I think there's something to it. Let me back in here a little bit. Not quite lined up in the lines, but that's that I think there's something to it, and that's interesting to me. I don't think it's nothing. And turn the page over, Phil. There's a reason that it resonates with people, and Christianity in particular is the most fascinating to me. This is Joe talking. Because there's this one person that everybody agrees existed somehow or another, and he had the best plan for how human beings should interact with each other and behave, and was the best example of it, and even died in a non-violent way, like even didn't protest when he died on the cross, supposedly for our sins. That's a fascinating story, but what does it represent? That's the real thing. What was that? Like, what happened? Who is Jesus Christ if he was a human being? What was that? That's wild. And Constantine Kissin says, well, Jordan's idea is like, oh, just a second, I got a call coming. All right, see ya. Okay, so I'm going to edit that out because that was a longer phone call than I thought it would be. Anyway, so Constantine Kissin then says, well, Jordan's idea is, as I understand it, that the point of the story, if you like, it's about voluntary self-sacrifice. Yes, that's the point of the story. It's about the fact that to have a good society, people have to be willing to sacrifice something of themselves for others. That's what Jesus is, and that story is supposed to inspire all of us. And Joe says, well, but it's a historical human being, though. It's like a historically documented human being, and that's where it gets weird, because there's this universal depiction of what this human being was like, and that doesn't seem to vary that much between all the people that knew him. That gets weird. And Constantine Kissin's friends, he says, you know, if you go to Jerusalem, you can go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he talks about how, you know, amazing that is, that you can see where this history actually took place. And then he says he was raised Catholic, and he said, and there's a spot in the service where they'd say, peace be upon you, towards the end, and then let's show each other the sign of peace. And he said, and you just turn around and you shake hands with people. You know, you just shake hands with someone. So all your anger and all your resentment and everything you feel, which is naturally and jealous, and you go, but you make a literal physical connection with another human being, and that's so powerful. And Joe said, also, if you don't have something to believe in, you don't, there's not a thing that you follow that you believe is making you a better version of yourself, be a better person. If you're just relying on your whims, you know, whatever you think is moral thing to do, you know, then what do you get? You get those people that are unable to answer questions, whether or not you should protect an unborn fetus or whether or not they have human rights. No, they say. They don't. And then they just go on like, that's what you get. And that's what you get when you have no religion. But if you have a religion, you go, wow, that's a good question. It's a very good question. Start thinking about it. Again, Constantine Kissin's friend. And it's also, as well, you know, when we look at the new atheist movement, there's something that I really followed, you know, Dawkins and all those people, which pointed out the ridiculousness of certain religions, and then we don't need religion. I think that's fundamentally inaccurate. I think human beings need religion. And Joe said, well, I don't know if you need it, but it can definitely help. And I think societies need it. Yeah, but I don't think it's silliness to, I don't just think it's silly. I think it's silly to dismiss all these stories as being useless, totally. So, I mean, they talk, you know, on and on and on. And Constantine Kissin said, yeah, well, the last time we had Richard on the show, Richard Dawkins, if you remember, we kind of pushed him on this. And yeah, his aunt, as far as we could get, and he was like, well, you know, maybe it's a story that's useful, but it's not true. And I said, well, if it's useful, maybe we should hang on to it for a bit, you know, because we don't want to throw away something that's been useful because we're so fixated on literal truth that perhaps is a metaphor for something. You know, and he said, you know, I've kind of moved on that stuff. I used to love all that new atheist stuff. And Joe said, me too, but a lot of those guys just fell apart. And all they, you know, he said, all those guys get real. That's not what he said. They don't seem like they're very enlightened. They don't seem like they're at peace, which is interesting, you know, because he said the true Christians that I've met, and I've met some legitimate, like very charitable, kind Christians, they're some of the happiest and kindest people I've ever met. And Constantine Kissin said, and that's borne out in the statistics as well. He said, however, I will say, I think, and this is worth noting, like the best people I've ever met are Christians, but also some of the worst people I've met. And Joe said, well, that is a real issue. And they go on and talk about, you know, a few things. And then they talk about how Christians sometimes, you know, disagree with each other in the craziest ways. And they start talking about Constantine Kissin brings up the infighting and asks if he ever saw the Emo Phillips bit about the bridge. Well, okay, this is hysterical. I don't know if you've ever seen, you should go look it up on YouTube. Emo Phillips does this bit about the Golden Gate Bridge. You can find it on YouTube. And I'm going to quote substantial portions of this because it's ridiculous. So he supposedly is in San Francisco and he's walking along the Golden Gate Bridge and he sees a guy who's about to jump. And the guy turns around and he has, you know, kind of that face of a horse. And Emo Phillips goes through all these puns about that. And this guy tells him about how terrible his life is and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, he says, you're forgetting about God. And the guy says, well, how do you know there's a God? And he said, well, there has to be a God. Do you think, you know, the way you look was just a point of random chance? He said, you'd have to have a sense of humor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So anyways, Emo Phillips talks about how he believes in God. And the guy says, well, I used to believe in God. And I said, oh, that's good. Were you a Jew or a Christian? And he said, well, I was a Christian. And he said, I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? And he said, Protestant. I said, me too. And he said, are you Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? And he said, Northern Baptist. And I said, me too. He said, Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? And he said, Northern Conservative Baptist. And I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptists. Let's see. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist or Northern Conservative Reformed Baptist? And he says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist. And I said, me too. Were you the Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region, or were you the Conservative Baptist Fundamentalist Eastern region? And he says, North Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes region. And I said, me too. And I said, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879, or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 912? And he says, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 192. And I said, die, heretic. And I pushed him off the bridge. And Emo Phillips is spot on. He is spot on with that. By the way, I did notice that when I slammed on the brakes that this slid forward and it hit the windshield. So I don't know what that portion of the podcast sounded like. My apologies. Anyways, but I just think in a nutshell, this really symbolizes, you know, the problem. We are supposed to be salt and light, and we just get so bound up in finding out everything we disagree on and making that the most important thing instead of just making Christ central and primate and prime and giving him primacy. And we just need to do more of that. We need to give Christ the primacy of our lives and welcome people. And we are all growing together with him. This is Phil Farad, and I am about to pick up Aiden, then I'm going home.